This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the issues of تزكية النفس, of purifying ourselves. And as we have been saying, as Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullahi alayhi said, and as everybody said, everything begins with accepting the need for change, which means accepting that I need the change and therefore turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance. The condition of hidayah is repenting of sins. Indifference to sins negates the knowledge of guidance. I'm not even talking about insisting on sins. I mean, that is truly from shaitan. But even indifference, one of the biggest problems is where a person feels that the sin is really not so bad. Rasulullah said in one hadith, he said, the sign of a person who has no taqwa, a person who has no understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has no taqwa, is that they think of a sin as if it is a fly sitting on the nose. You do that and it goes away. Whereas a person of taqwa is the opposite. He or she sees sin as if it was a huge rock which is poised on their head, about to fall and crush them unless they remove it. One of the signs of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of our sins. So a person suddenly remembers what they did, maybe many years ago. And this makes them feel very regretful and very contrite and very ashamed. And they say to themselves, how could I have done such a thing? And they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They cry, they weep before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are hugely conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing on them, that despite what they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not punish them. Maybe you are watching something which is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have struck you blind that instance. Just like that. The moment you open a porn site, your sight goes. This is possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done that. The moment you listen to something haram, your hearing goes. The moment you eat something haram, it turns into poison, it kills you. Right? Imagine if that happened. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us rope. Whether we want to use that rope as something to hang on to and drag ourselves out of the whirlpool that we are stuck in, the whirlpool of this dunya, the whirlpool of disobedience of Allah, or whether we use the rope to hang ourselves, this is up to us. But Allah gives us time. Allah is patient. There's no one who has more sabr than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us time to reform ourselves, to think, to reflect, to return to Him. Very important to understand that persistent sinning negates the intention and the will of the slave to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, tawbah will not be valid except after one recognizes the sin and admits to it and seeks to rid himself or herself of the evil consequences. As I mentioned to you, one of the biggest fitan, one of the biggest tests, one of the biggest problems is to consider a sin to be so small It's a small thing. Because think about this, what is a sin? A sin is disobedience of Allah. What is disobedience of Allah? Disobedience of Allahu Akbar. Disobedience of the one who is the greatest. Disobedience of one of the one who I owe every breath I take to. I owe this breath to him. Ask people who are in COVID, thanks to this COVID has really given us an opportunity to open our eyes to the realities of this life. Ask somebody who is in a COVID ward on a ventilator, what is the value, what will they give to be able to take one decent deep breath? Ask somebody who is suffering from asthma, when they are gasping for breath, what they will take to be able to breathe freely. Just the breath. We haven't even gone from there to anything else. Just the ability and the capacity to breathe freely and easily. We don't even have to go all there. Just imagine if your nose is blocked. Sometimes the nose gets blocked with cold or something else. If the nose is blocked, how painful it is. Sometimes you can't sleep all night because the nose is blocked. And you're trying to breathe through your mouth and your throat gets dry and all kinds of stuff. Just the breath. So when the slave is contrite, when the slave is reflecting and remembering his sins, his disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is comparing this to this and says, "Oh Allah, you are the one. I owe every breath I take to you. Yet I had the temerity, I had the audacity to disobey you knowingly. I knew it was wrong. I did not do it by accident. The internet porn site just didn't open in front of me by itself. I went for it, I looked for it, I typed the site address in the window. I clicked on it. Maybe it asked me to certify if I was over 18 or not. I certified, yes, I'm over 18. Shaitan makes very sure that you have no excuse left when you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't say, "Oh, it happened by mistake. I didn't realize." No. You realized. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what you were doing. And you knew it was wrong. You knew it was wrong. Yet, you did it. But, as I said, we don't lose hope. Because, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in His infinite mercy, left the door of tawbah and istighfar open for us until the last moment, until we see Malakul Maut. But the trick there, the catch there is that we don't know when that time will come. So the door is open until we see Malakul Maut, but we do not know when that time will come. So therefore, what is the time to change? Right now. Right now, I know I'm alive, I can breathe, I can see, I can think. Immediately, let me make tawbah and istighfar. Let me seek Allah's forgiveness and let me turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Istighfar is to seek forgiveness of Allah. Tawbah is to turn towards Allah. The istighfar wal tawbah. Fastaghfiru thumma tubu ilayhi. Allah said, seek repentance and then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turning towards Allah means what? Means to change your lifestyle. So if I'm looking at pornographic stuff, and this is a very, very widespread evil all over the world, and unfortunately also in the Muslim world. So and it's addictive. I mean, this is one of the most addictive things that you can imagine. It's like alcohol or it's like any drug. It destroys your life, quite literally. It destroys your married life, it destroys your life, it completely, it's like being inside a cesspit. But it's a multi-billion dollar industry because of the number of people who watch. So the point is that if I'm doing that, I feel regretful and I apologize to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek His repentance, I seek His forgiveness, and then what do I do? And then I make sure that I never go and visit that site again. I remove all that, I delete all the history and everything else. I do not go to that site or any other site ever again. And if the urge comes on me, then I just get up and go for a walk. I go and run 10 miles. That will sort it out. So whatever is the sin that I was doing, if I was dealing in interest, for example, right? I know it is haram, I'm still doing it. Again, I told you, doesn't happen by mistake. Nobody who is borrowing money on interest can say this happened by mistake. No, it didn't. You went and searched for it. You went and signed forms. You went and met bank managers. You went and begged and pleaded for that stuff to come to you. In some cases, you even put something there as a collateral. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you a halal income and gave you enough and more to live very comfortably for the rest of your life. And you have to go and ruin it by taking a bank loan. Because some analyst or banker or someone told you how you can make even more money. And you forgot the fact that you can only make as much Allah has written for you. As much as Allah has written for you, nothing more. And what Allah has written for you, nobody can take it away. You forgot all that. And you believed a banker who doesn't even know Allah. So, it is very important for us to make istighfar. Now to one of the two major reasons why people come to bad endings. What is that? One is to insist on sin and delay tawbah. Al-israr al-ma'asi wa ta'akhir al-tawbah. To insist on sin and to delay tawbah, delay repentance and delay turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then what happens is, in that state of sinning, you get caught and the door of tawbah is shut. And the second one is to understand that there is no sin with istighfar and no goodness with israr, which is insisting on sin. La ism ma'al istighfar wa la khair ma'al israr ala al ma'asi. There is no sin along with istighfar, and there is no goodness, no khair, along with israr alal ma'asi, insisting on sin. Now, do think about this, that how important it is to be clear in our minds about istighfar. My brothers and sisters, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at our hearts. Rasulullah said in this famous hadith, he said, Allah does not look at your faces or your shapes, right? Allah looks at inside, what's in the heart. Most of us have reached a stage where, for example, if I ask you this question, say, what do you have in your pocket? Maybe you can tell me. I mean, some people can't even say that, but maybe you can tell me. But if I ask you what's in your heart, I'm sure many of you are people who don't even know what I'm saying. What's in your heart? What is the meaning of heart? How do I go there and find out what is in my heart? We don't know because we never learned. Nobody taught us. So practice this. Focus on your heart. Focus and say, what do I really believe? Your heart is the qalb in Islam is the seat of intellect and emotion together. So that's where you have all your feelings and you have all your thoughts. So focus on that and see which is more, which is ghalib, which is more powerful. the desire to obey Allah or the desire to follow your own thing, to follow your own desires, the desire to seek approval from others, the desire to for name and fame or whatever it is, which is stronger? Right? Look in the heart. Please understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy, Rasulullah said, innamal amalu bin niyat. He said, the deed will be rewarded based on the intention. Imagine if Rasulullah had said that the deed will be rewarded in keeping with the quality and the perfection with which that deed is performed. Now, again, perfection is important. Quality is very important. But the reward is not based on that. The reward is based on the intention of the deed. Once the intention is good, once the intention is sincere, once you are doing the deed for the sake of Allah alone, then inshallah Allah will also reward you for doing that deed perfectly. And it goes without saying that if I am really doing it for the sake of Allah alone, then automatically it means that I will do it to the best of my ability. Because you can't say I am doing it for the sake of Allah and I am doing it, you know, without interest, lackadaisically, just like that. No. If I am doing it for Allah alone, then I will make sure that this deed is done to the best of my ability. So that is a very important thing to keep in mind. So for example, if you are reciting Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the heart. Is this person reciting to please Allah alone? Maybe the person makes a mistake in recitation, maybe the person's pronunciation is not perfect. It doesn't matter. Now again, that does not mean you should not learn tajweed, it does not mean you should not recite correctly. No, of course you should recite correctly, you should do your best. But in many cases, especially with regard to tajweed, you know and I know that, especially older people who don't speak Arabic, and even with Arabs, I have seen, for example, people who pray five times a day in the masjid, Arabs, who speak Arabic, whose English is pits, and they're most comfortable in Arabic. For Iqama, they will say, Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now, they don't know the rule of tajweed. They don't know how and what and how it combines Ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, why anna, and why the fatha after the ithm. Right? They don't know all this. So this is Ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. People who speak with an Egyptian accent, they will say Qad qamat as-salah instead of Qad qamat as-salah. They say Qad qamat as-salah, and so on and so forth. So it's difficult for people to change their accent to pronounce it correctly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not looking at that. Allah knows this. Allah knows what their weakness is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing what is the sincerity in the heart. And inshallah, if the sincerity is good, then even with their faulty recitation, inshallah, Allah will accept the salah. But on the other hand, imagine this person who is a beautiful reciter, whose recitation is absolutely perfect, very pleasing, very nice, and this person is leading salah. But his recitation in his heart, he is reciting to please the people. He wants to become popular. Maybe there is some significant person behind who this person wants to please. So this person is reciting, and in his heart is not the pleasure of Allah. He is not seeking the pleasure of Allah. He is not reciting because the Quran is so beautiful. He is reciting because he wants to please the congregation, or he wants to please certain people in the congregation. They must think highly of me. They must praise me. If that is in his heart, then remember, the people behind him may get a lot of khushu by listening to his beautiful recitation, but this person is actually committing shirk, standing on the musalla leading salah. Because to recite or to do something good in order to show off is shirk. Rasulullah said this. He said, shirk khafi, the hidden shirk. And what is that? Ar-riya. He said, I'm not afraid for you that you will worship idols, that you will actually go worship some stones. He said to the Sahaba, he said, I'm not afraid for you that you will worship idols, but I'm afraid for you that you will commit hidden shirk. I said, Ya Rasulullah, what is hidden shirk? He said, Ar-Riya. Ar-Riya is to do something good, anything good, whether it is charity, whether it is salah, whether it is recitation of Quran or whatever. To do something good with the intention in your heart of pleasing people. This is Riya. And Riya is shirk. Excuse me. So, very important for us to keep this in mind that the intention must be pure. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept that. Because something which is done with an impure intention is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine how tragic that is. Somebody is doing a lot of, you know, so-called good work, but on the day of judgment, he gets nothing. There's a famous story that is told about Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. The story is that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, his brother also was an alim. His elder brother was also a great alim. But his elder brother would not pray behind Imam Ghazali. Right? He would not pray salah behind Imam Ghazali. So Imam Ghazali refused to feel bad about this. He said, why does he not pray behind me? I am the Imam of the Masjid. So one day he complained to his mother. And he said to her that, look, you know, this is something which is bothering me. My brother does not pray behind me. So the mother called the brother and said, why don't you pray behind your brother? What's the matter? He said, okay, I'll pray behind him. So the next salah, he stood behind Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi. And during the salah, he broke his salah and walked away. He left. Now obviously this is an even bigger fitna, because first of all, you don't pray behind him. Secondly, when he's leading salah, you leave and go away. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi, he went back to his mother, he complained to her. He said, look, this is what he did. So first of all, he wasn't praying. Now when he prayed, he broke and left. So the mother called him. She said, what happened to you? Why did you do that? He said, I had this kashf, I had this knowledge that he, meaning Imam Ghazali, that his mind was wandering somewhere else. In the salah, he had no khushu. He was thinking of something else. So I don't want to pray behind somebody like this. So I left. The mother asked Imam Ghazali, she said, is this true? He said, yes. Because he said, as I was praying, as I was reciting, I thought of a particular masala, a particular issue on which I had to give a ruling, and that was in my mind. Now what do you think the mother said? Did she say, oh mashallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, I have such learned sons that one can actually look into somebody else's heart and know what is there? Huh? And the other one is such a great alim that he is, you know, thinking constantly about issues in religion. Did she say that? She said, both of you get out of here. She said, you in your salah, one is thinking of something else other than Allah, and the other one is trying to see what is in the mind of somebody else. She said, what kind of people are get out from here? She said, concentrate in your salah on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not all this rubbish. Difficult to impress mothers, right? Alhamdulillah for good parents. Alhamdulillah for good parents. I remember my mother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her and give her Jannah. In 2008, I was invited to speak at the International Hajj Conference in Makkah. So my wife and I went as guests of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, Ministry of Hajj. And it was a beautiful trip and so on and so forth. And I met King Abdullah, Rahimahullah, and I shook his hand. And that TV thing, my mother saw that in Hyderabad. That's another story, subhanAllah, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. But leave all that. When I got back to Hyderabad, I went to my mother to meet her. And she said to me, she said, I saw you, you know, shaking hands with the king and so on. And she said that several of your aunts and uncles, they have been telephoning me and praising you. and you know, your work and this and that. So I said, Alhamdulillah, this is good news. I was feeling very happy. And then she said, but remember one thing. She said, it doesn't matter which king you meet. It doesn't matter what aunt or which uncle said what. It doesn't matter how many people praise you. It doesn't matter how many people say that you are doing great work and this and that. She said, the only thing which matters is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says when you meet Him on the Day of Judgment. So she said, don't feel happy about all this. Focus on yourself. Look at your ikhlas. Look at your own sincerity. And keep on making istighfar and tawbah. Because the only thing which matters is what Allah will say. Not what this dunya says. Let them say good, let them say bad. It doesn't matter. What matters is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Alhamdulillah, I bless my mother. I ask Allah to forgive her. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill her qabr with noor. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with her and never to be displeased, as well as my father. This is the benefit of good parents. They make sure that your feet are firmly on the ground. Today, one of the biggest fitan, one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest tests is this social media. Where people who do good, they take it and they dump it in the trash. Because they immediately want to put it on Facebook, they want to put it on Instagram, they want to tell the whole world, oh, this is what I did. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. You did it for Allah, and Allah knows, Allah does not need your Facebook post for that. Keep it down there. Make istighfar and say, Ya Rab, this is what I brought for you, but I know this is not fitting. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Rasulullah ﷺ taught this to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, no less. At the end of Salah, what did he say? He said, make this dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathiran faghfirli wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Oh Allah, I have transgressed against myself. I have done zulum against myself. I have oppressed myself. I have done wrong. Please forgive me, and there's no one who forgives except you. When is this being said? At the end of Salah. Not after doing something wrong. After doing the best deed, because there is no deed that is superior to praying at its correct time. And after the Salah, meaning in the Salah, but at the end, after we recite the Tahiyyat and Durood Ibrahimi and so on, this is a dua the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. It is the quality of the believer to constantly seek forgiveness and to constantly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and ask Allah to forgive him. And therefore, my assignment to you today is to list all the ways in which you disobey Allah and make sincere tawbah. Sincere condition, sincere istighfar for this. List all the ways. Or what? How are you disobeying Allah? Is it in salah? Is it in interest-based business? Is it in being disrespectful to your parents or teachers? Is it in being ungrateful and thankless to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to those who do some good for you? Is it in not paying? One of the biggest problems with us is people who work for us. We pay them the least we can get away with. But when it comes to yourself, you want the best you can get. You will pay somebody a salary and you will not give him an increase in 10 years. But you yourself want an increment every 6 months. How will you answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. So ask yourself this question. If you are in a position of authority, believe me, there's a noose around your neck and Allah is holding the rope. That's why our classical scholars and the ulama, they ran away from authority. They didn't want authority, they refused authority. It's such a huge responsibility. And remember, conditions of tawbah, there are four. One, be sincerely contrite and regretful. Sincerely. And only you know that. And only Allah knows that. sincerely contrite and regretful. Number two, hate that sin and never return to it. Whatever it was you were doing, absolutely detest it, hate it, and never return to it. Number three, ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah to forgive you, because there's no one else who forgives except Allah. And number four is, make good whatever harm you did to others. So whatever the transgression was, if you harmed anybody in that process, make sure that you make good to that, because if you don't, then on the day of judgment, Rasulullah ﷺ said, you will not be forgiven unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will not forgive you unless the person you wronged forgives you first. And on the day of judgment, my brothers and sisters, believe me, forgiveness is going to be in very great short supply. People are not going to forgive each other. So settle the account here. Seek the person's forgiveness, make good whatever you did, give more if you have to give more, because on the day of judgment, it will become a very expensive bargain. We don't want to be in that situation. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have ikhlas always, to have our soul and our qalb and our nafs pure from all forms of showing off and riya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sincerity so that we can, when we ask Him for His favor, we do that with great sincerity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to clean our hearts from all forms of insincerity and to accept our istighfar and tawbah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.